Good morning, and welcome to the Worcester Seventh-day Adventist Church, the friendliest church in Worcester. We thank you for joining us live, and we're streaming today because we haven't reopened yet. Our scripture this morning is found in Mark. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And then there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Just before I begin, I just want to thank Elder Williams, and I couldn't have expressed what he expressed any better than he did. Just containing and describing and painting the struggle, the injustices, and the tragedy of the times that we're living on many fronts. And thanks be to God that we can approach him together with prayer and with faith. And may those words and sentiment that we prayed over today be placed in the hearts of everyone in our country. Before we begin, I just would like to speak to any children that are actually listening today at home. I always would be excited to look forward to the Sabbath, because every Sabbath at home, I would sit with my kids, and we would actually look toward the TV like you are right now and have a chance to look forward to listening to not only a sermon, but a children's story. But today, I would like to actually share with you my personal favorite story. And the best part about this story is that it really happened. It's about this man named Daniel and three of his close friends. So Daniel and his friends will say they went on a trip. They were forced to go to a new country. They were taken prisoner. But they had an opportunity to become wise leaders of a country called Babylon. So the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to make sure that they had everything that they possibly needed to succeed. They were going to learn, they were going to study, and actually they were going to eat just like the king ate. Back in those days, usually only the kings would have these full tables with lots of meat, choice wines, a whole bunch of stuff. So he said, if you guys are going to be smart and wise, you need to eat like I eat. So what did Daniel do? Interestingly enough, he stood up, he said, I fear my Lord, my God, and I will not violate his commands. I cannot eat of your table. Give me a test. Give me 10 days to prove to you how true my God is. Let me just eat vegetables, legumes, and water just for 10 days, and then test us, compare us to your other students, and see if there's a difference. Guess what happened? 10 days went by, and they were put to the test. And do you know, they weren't just found a little bit wiser than their peers who ate from the king's table, who had all the meats and the alcohol and all those fine dishes and the treats. They were found to be 10 times as wise as those who ate from the king's table. What was the difference? They ate a simple diet, but more importantly, with faith, they trusted in God, they followed his advice, and they were blessed, exalted, and put into a place to do a great work. I just want you guys to remember that sometimes you might be asked to do this or to do that. If you're ever not sure, just remember, what would Jesus do? Amen? So I'm just going to take a moment here and get my digital notes ready. I have had the opportunity during this interesting time to share a message with our brothers and sisters in Hudson. And somehow, finally, I got accustomed to using electronic notes. And anytime I mention that to my wife, she just kind of laughs because she's been doing this for quite some time as a teacher. And on that note, I've been completely impressed with not just my wife, but any of our educators that are out there. How in the world can they teach without physically being face-to-face with the students? It's just an amazing thing. Just one moment, I'm having technical difficulties. So, this morning, I would like to take a journey with each and one of you back in time to a time when Christ and his followers were in a boat, we shall call it, on a sea called of Galilee. And I know we have probably heard this tale before, have read about it, have thought about it. In fact, I've even preached on it before. But today, I just ask you, with all the storms that are confronting us in life right now, what is our best response? And my prayer in looking back to this moment of calamity, to a time when the storms blew and caught the disciples unawares while Christ was in their midst, maybe by looking backward to this experience, we can gain some insight as to how we can respond as the winds blow now or as they may blow in the future. And what's interesting, when you think about the storm on the ship, right? When you think about Jesus there, the disciples freaking out, one thing that often gets overlooked is the events leading up to it. They actually had a very busy day and evening leading up to that moment. You could say Jesus had given one of his, some would say one of his most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, where he went over many important truths and teaching in an intimate manner, just explaining, showing, elaborating, even answering the disciples' questions at one point. In addition to the teaching, being surrounded by all the people, I'm sure any one of us would be first in line. There must have been many healings, miracles, and just what a day. Eventually, Christ did descend from the mount and was still surrounded by the crowds who he attended patiently and would still give his undivided attention as they went, and they made their way towards a town called Capernaum. As they approached the town, something interesting happened. Jesus was approached by a Roman centurion. And this centurion in particular asked for assistance. It wasn't for himself, but there was a servant in his household who needed Christ's healing touch. What stands out about this centurion is that he declined Christ to come to his home because he wasn't worthy. No, master. Just but say the word, and I know my servant shall be healed. It's interesting. Simple words, but let's think about it. This Roman soldier, the instrument, the tip of the blade of the Roman Empire, a pagan empire that worshiped their emperor as the Son of God. This man identified who Christ was, believed on the power, and just by the word, he was satisfied. Simple words, but profound meaning. I'll be satisfied. I have faith in your word. After this, Jesus did later on end up at Peter's house and healed another individual, Peter's mother-in-law. In fact, it actually, as recorded in Matthew 8, it actually says that she got up to serve him right away as a testament to his healing power. But the crowds were still out there. You know, I could just imagine, you know, Christ looking out the window, whether there was a curtain or not, I do not know, but I'll just say there was a curtain just peeking out there, and the crowds aren't going anywhere. So Jesus did send out his disciples. He said, listen, go prepare the boat. We need to cross the Sea of Galilee. We have another mission to do. So the disciples were sent out, and then Jesus made his way from that home to the Sea of Galilee. Now, can you imagine, after having already spent all that time with the crowds, with his discourse, after traveling to the town, after continuously healing and interacting, and I mean, wouldn't you be there too, asking for some of his attention? Because, wow, that's, I can't even put into words what that opportunity those crowds and the people must have had. They must have been so hungry. Aren't we so hungry to be able to have that face-to-face opportunity as well? So after this long day, he didn't just withdraw, secretly run off. He went to the boat, but on the way, still shared some important truths, such as the parable of the mustard seed, the sower, and the light under the blanket. So eventually Christ did arrive at the boat. The disciples had prepared it. They were good seamanship. I'm sure they had all the oars ready. They had the sails ready to go up and anything they would need to go out to sea. Jesus got on the boat, just completely wiped out. Have any of you ever had a time where you had to do like a presentation or a nice long hard work where you're just mentally, emotionally, and just completely bought into a task, and at the end of it, you're just utterly wiped out. There's nothing left to give. I can just imagine just Jesus just getting right over there, making it to the back of the boat, just placing his head down and out. So while he was sleeping, the boat left. And the Bible says at some point about the middle of the Sea of Galilee, something changed. It went from calm to storm. Geographically speaking, the Sea of Galilee is an interesting occurrence. It's surrounded by mountains and valleys. And what's interesting about that is that when you have mountainous areas with some valleys, they kind of act as a wind tunnel. So you can go from like a light breeze, 5 miles an hour, to just in minutes, without warning, without clouds, without anything, all of a sudden you can have 60 mile per hour gusts just battering at you. Kind of had a taste of this once in my life. I took a trip to Mount Rainier in Washington State. Beautiful, tall volcano. Didn't know that at the time. Snow-capped. It was summer, 80 degrees. It felt warm. And then all of a sudden, you would just get these blasts of wind. Felt like air conditioning on the outside just coming at you. Just magnify that a bit as to what was going on at sea. Now just picture it. Imagine that you're on this boat. You know what to do. The winds are blowing. We're going to trim the sails because you don't want the boat to tip over. You're going to pull the oars in. And then also you're going to make sure we steer towards any waves because we don't want to capsize and go upside down. And then also you better have your buckets ready because you don't want to go underwater because you're taking on too much water, right? You want to stay floating. So they're trying. They got the sails down. The oars are in. They're bailing. They're going. And they went from confidently attacking the storm to probably a little bit anxious about it. From anxiety to troubled. From troubled to distressed. From distressed to terrified. Let's turn today to see what happened. Let's return to our scripture reading in the book of Mark chapter 4. Just to paint this picture fresh in our mind, what was going on during this storm? Mark 4, verse 35, the word of the Lord says, "And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Can you imagine what it would be like to be at sea during a great storm? I personally have not experienced this. However, I have been on a plane during some extreme turbulence, and I have been on some flotation devices while some motorboats go by and you're kind of swinging and moving. But just imagine this. Let's just picture a big aircraft carrier. I'm talking, you know, those 1,000-foot-long ships that have thousands of people, right? I do know, I have some sailor friends, and they've told me that, you know, if you go through a great storm, even on that big ship, you're like a postage stamp in the middle of the ocean. You're really not on a big thing. You buckle to and fro, forward, back, and at times it even feels like you're about to roll over and capsize. It's a terrifying event, and they would never suggest you wanting to go through with it. You really realize how much your life is in the hands of the Lord because you are powerless at that moment. Another way to think about it is, if any of you have seen the tale or thought about the Poseidon Adventure, that's a classic one. It's an old film, plus they did a remake. They went all the way over. But can you imagine a storm so powerful that it could really just get you upside down? But what about the disciples on the Sea of Galilee that night? They didn't have any ironclad bulkheads of steel around them. They didn't have watertight doors. They were on a handmade wooden vessel that looked like it was going to go down and be swallowed up by some beast from underneath, because I'm sure they might have even thought that too. But the question I have, and I wonder if you have it too, how could they possibly be scared with Jesus with them? Think about the day they just had. All the miracles, all the healings, all the teaching. Don't even take in consideration the total amount of time. I'm just talking about this one day. These are his closest, most intimate followers that just didn't follow him to learn about him. But the word disciple literally means their mission was to be around him and become him. Sounds similar to our calling. But yet, in the moment of calamity, when the storms blew, they forgot who they were with and of whom they spent so much time. You know, the question I ask you, how could they react that way, right? It's almost like, just imagine you're a parent, right? You helped your kid study for his geography test. It's actually a test on states. Comes home proudly. Look, mom, dad, I got an A-. You're like, oh, wow, that's great, wow. He's like, yeah, I only got one question wrong. Which one was that? Oh, yeah, I got Massachusetts wrong. How could you? It's your state. How would you get that wrong on a map? And again, the disciples, how? How could they? Well, just imagine. They were scared to their lives. They lost all sense. This isn't a justification, but it's just the reality of the picture that's painted. And then they wake Jesus up and essentially say to him, Why did you take us out here to die? But how did Jesus react? He went to the side of the boat, He said, "Peace, be still." You know, they were with him that whole day. They saw all those amazing things. But when the storm came, their faith evaporated. Now, these disciples were good Jews. They were raised in the synagogue. They memorized scripture, the Talmud. They memorized from the Torah. They knew of David, Abraham, Noah, Ruth, Moses. They even had scripture memorized, like Psalms 89:9, for example. "You rule over the majestic sea. When its waves surge, you calm them." They knew the Lord. They studied of the Lord. They were with the Lord. But yet, when peril struck, they forgot him. How does that apply to us today? Look, we've been facing some storms in 2020, and we're not even barely halfway through it yet. I mean, you're virtually home. We can share this message, but we're not together here. We have this virus that has us all locked up in our homes, not just here, but worldwide. Something that hasn't been seen in history yet to this scope. There was murder hornets that came into our country also this year. These very aggressive, large insects. There are an unfathomable, an uncountable millions, and I don't mean millions like singular, I'm talking about tens of millions of people who are now unemployed due to no fault of their own. I mean, individuals even who are very successful how now have been turned penniless, not to forget all of those who are just barely getting by as it was, now are in the brink of destitute. We have civil unrest globally, not just in the nation, due to inequality and injustices. There's a lot of hurt and pain going on. There's been a lot of wrongs that have been brought to the open, and people have a lot of anger and a lot of rage. There's storms ravaging our planet. There's asteroids flying so close by us. There's a plague of locusts that swept through Africa and are hitting Asia right now. The storm rages, but our response varies. Do we have a response of rage, hatred? Do we respond by looking to Christ? Or is it worry, calm, oblivion, or more? Are we frantically waiting for our ultimate demise like the disciples? How are we reacting? You see, think about those disciples. Did Jesus tell them, "Let's go to the middle of the lake and die"? Did he promise them, let's go to the lake, we'll get to the other side, but there won't be any storms? You see, Christ was confident that his plan was not going to be sidetracked by storms, that they would get to the other side. Is it possible that this could have been a test to the disciples' faith? Because we all know they were going to have some trials a store for them in the days and weeks and months and years ahead. We're tested. Our faith is tested on a daily basis or for time to time, not just for the manner of testing, but it's an opportunity to grow. Kind of like when you make a sword. You have to refine it. You have to heat it. You have to beat it. You have to cool it. It needs to go through the process to be refined and become strong, just so as we need to also have the winds blow on us so we can not depend on ourselves, but we can depend on high. There's a lot of storms going on, And isn't it possible that our faith is being tested? However, we can turn to the book of Romans. Romans 8, chapter 18. There's something to keep in mind when the winds blow. There's something to keep in mind in the midst when the world is coming apart at the seams, when there's just destruction, chaos, and injustice. There's one thing that we can look forward to. In Romans 8:18, the word of the Lord says this, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brothers and sisters, as we sit in our homes, sheltering from the storm, what are we, what am I, what are you doing with this unexpected period of respite? What are we doing during these times to increase our faith? Did you ever expect to have this time at home? Families, did you expect this all this extra time with your children? Or your live-in roommates, or whatever your case may be? Are we focused on the Lord, or are we transfixed on the storms that are blowing and brewing right now? Are we transfixed on those storms of rage? Are we using this moment to think about our ultimate demise? Or are we using this as a moment to reset and to renew our faith in God? Will you, brothers and sisters, endure the storm and make it to the other side? Or will you be allowed to get sidetracked by the storm? Although this is a topic for another day that we can go deeply into, they do indicate that our Lord is coming soon to come get us. And I mean that with a certainty. Jesus is coming to bring this to an end and to bring us together and to heal the world and to heal your soul. Let us remember to completely trust in our Savior. When we think we don't have hope, when we think we're powerless to do anything, there is hope in Christ. The little, the tiny mustard seed can do great things. So can you, with a simple act of kindness and love. You can make an impact in someone else's life beyond any imagination. We will be confronted by trials. The storms and tribulations will blow, but it will strengthen our faith and remind us in whom our faith should be placed. Even so, remember this: Christ will not abandon us during our time of strife. He will always be there to protect us from the storm.